Sometimes when we go to solve a problem or an issue or a question, I believe we make it harder than it has to be sometimes. We spend more time or more money or more energy than necessary to fix it. And sometimes there's often an easier solution. A couple of weeks ago, I had a problem with my backpack leaf blower, and it was leaking gas. And I wanted to get that fixed. We're in the mowing season. You need to mow and weed eat and blow off the driveway and all that kind of thing. And I don't need that thing leaking gas on me. And it had been leaking for several months, actually, into last year, and I just hadn't had a chance to mess with it. So I thought, you know, I'm going to get that thing fixed. And I'm studying it, and I'm looking at it, and I determined that there are three hoses that go down into the gas tank, and a lot of times that plastic gets dry rotted and it starts to leak and gas will come out and that kind of thing. And so I took it up to the co-op, and there's a guy up there, Mike. He's really good with small engines. And so I took it up there, and I'm waiting on him to get done at the register. He's waiting on somebody. I was going to ask him for the carburetor kit for this particular blower. I want the replacement hoses and so forth. And he's waiting on somebody there at the cash register, and I've got my blower up there on the counter. I'm just kind of holding on to it, waiting for Mike to get done, and I'm just looking at it, and he's talking, working with the customer. And I realize that there is a hose that's coming down, and there's a hole right there that goes into the gas tank. And I'm thinking, does that hose go into that hole? Would that fix the problem? And I'm just kind of leaning on that, looking at that. And Mike gets done. He says, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Mike, is that hose supposed to go in that hole?" "Yeah." "Have a good day." Problem solved. So, no money, no time. And it took me 5 seconds to push the hose into the hole. I had either forgotten that or didn't realize that. Just an easy fix. No more gas leak. Sometimes when we go to work with problems and issues in life, we're looking for solutions to puzzling questions and nagging problems and challenging issues and difficult hurdles. I believe sometimes we have overlooked the simple and the obvious in dealing with some of these things. If you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 11, I want to look at a statement of Jesus in Mark chapter 11 that's going to give us some insight on how to face life. In Mark chapter 11, the disciples are surprised about some things. They're wondering about some things, and Jesus is going to give a simple four-word solution that I want us to consider this morning. In Mark chapter 11, verse 12. Mark 11 and verse 12. "And on the morrow, when they were come out from Bethany, he hungered, and seeing a fig tree afar, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. And he answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit from thee henceforth forever. And his disciples heard it." Come down to verse 19. "And in the evening, and every evening, he went out from the city. And as they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Rabbi, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And whensoever you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anyone, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses." In verse 21, Peter sees this withered fig tree, And when you look at the parallel accounts, the disciples are asking about it as well. They want to know why it was so immediately withered away. And what is Jesus' answer to that in verse 22? Is it some long theological discussion, very wordy, multiple pages of all kinds? He just says four words. It's three in the original. It's four in English. Have faith in God. That's all he says. Problem solved. Peter, well, how could this happen? How could this be withered away so immediately and so fully? Have faith in God. I want us this morning to go back and consider this principle that maybe we have overlooked in our life, that things actually are easier than you might expect. Simple, trusting faith. We sing that in the song, Come to Jesus in simple, trusting faith. I want us to consider that this morning. The next time we have the puzzling questions and the nagging problems and the challenging issues and the difficult hurdles, have you ever considered just saying, well, you know, I'm going to have faith in God? Isn't that what we do throughout the day? We trust. We're going to talk about trust this morning. Isn't that what we do all throughout the day? Think about it. You came here this morning in a vehicle, in a car. Didn't you trust the people who were driving on the road? You didn't overthink that. You just got in your car and you started driving to the church building. You didn't overthink it. You just trust that people are going to, at the intersection, obey the traffic laws and things like that. If you take medicine, if you take medicine for high blood pressure and cholesterol and other kinds of things, isn't that what you do when you put that pill in your mouth and swallow it? You trust the pharmaceutical company. You didn't make that medicine. You didn't compound that. You didn't do any of the clinical trials. You didn't do any of the testing in the laboratory. That had been done long before you put that pill in your mouth. We just buy a pill and we put it in our mouth. We trust the doctor who wrote the prescription. We trust the pharmacist who filled it. We trust the pharmaceutical company who made all of that. You just put the pill in your mouth. You don't overthink that. Don't we trust the people who make our food and water? We buy food at the store and that type of thing. Do you make your own water, or do you just turn on the faucet? I think most of us just turn on the faucet. You don't go out and collect rainwater, do you? And boil it, you know, and make sure all the germs are out of it. And then try to do some testing to see if there's any lead in there or any impurity. You just drink your water. Don't we trust the officials of Montgomery County to give us clean water? And we do that with our food. And somebody says, well, I don't trust tap water, so I buy bottled water. But even then, you didn't make it. Did you make it? Did you see the people who put it in the bottle in that spring down in Florida or Alaska or wherever it came from? Fiji, you know. No, at some point you even trust that. Don't we go throughout our day trusting individuals? Why wouldn't we do that with God? Jesus didn't give some long theological response. He just said, have faith in God. And I want us to consider that this morning. A lot of times, I believe, we overthink it. We try to rationalize a lot of different things when really we're just supposed to trust God. Don't we trust doctors that we go to? We don't fix our own teeth. We go to the dentist, and when we're sitting there in the chair, we trust him or her to know their knowledge. We trust Don when we go to him to fix our eyes. We go to the heart surgeon and we trust them when they put that stent in. We don't do that ourselves. You see, we trust all day long. What about with God? So in Mark chapter 11, I want to look at that statement in verse 22. Have faith in God. Jesus is saying that this really should be no surprise. I cursed the fig tree and it withered away immediately.
I have faith in God. I do God's will. I do what God wants me to do. And this miracle was able to happen. And you apostles, you're about to go. I'm going to be gone after a little while. And you're about to go into the world and you're going to face all kinds of difficult types of challenges. You need to begin with having faith in God each time. And he gives them some lessons on prayer as well. So this morning, I want us to consider this statement. And what are some characteristics of God that we can have faith in? What are some characteristics of God that we just simply need to put our trust in Him? Now, I'm not suggesting this morning that somebody listening to me might say, well, that's a cop-out. That's the religious cop-out. You know, when you can't explain things in life, they call it the God of the gaps. You know, you can't explain things in life, and so you just sort of put it off on God. He's the answer to everything. And they chide that, and they rebuke that, and they make fun of that, skeptics and agnostics and so forth. And they say, well, when you say have faith in God, what that means is you're not being reasonable and rational. You're not using your brain. You're not thinking. As we're going to see in just a minute, it's very much based upon reason and rationality, as we're going to see in just a minute. So when I say have faith in God, I don't mean by that toss our brains out the door. What I mean by that is at some point throughout the day, a lot of times we just simply need to trust God. And I hope that will become clear as we go through the lesson. Jesus just simply said in three original words, have faith in God. And I would like for us to get back to the simple solution to life's issues. Let me encourage us this morning to have faith in the person of God. We live in a world where there are a lot of people who doubt the existence of God. We're told that there is no God. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28 that there are people who refuse to have God in their knowledge. We're seeing in our society today more and more people who don't want to believe in God or read the Bible or go to church or anything like that. We don't need any of that kind of thing. And in that kind of a world that we live in, let me encourage you to have faith in the person of God. He does exist. When we're told there is no God, trust that there is a God. And here's why. Because of the powerful evidence for His existence. There will always be people out there. Psalm 10 and verse 4, the wicked, we're told there that in his thoughts all day long, they're continually, there is no God. Psalm 10 verse 4. There's always going to be people out there that don't want to believe in God. The fool says there is no God. Psalm 14 verse 1, Psalm 53 verse 1. There will always be people like that. But it's because they refuse the evidence for a creator. Have faith in the person of God. The psalmist says in Psalm 19 and verse 1 that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. We believe in a designer because of design. We believe in design, we see design, and so we believe that there's intelligence behind that, because even in the natural world around us, intelligence, men and women, create and design all kinds of things. From our computers to the phones that you hold in your hand and a host of other things. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul talks about how that God's power and divinity are seen in what is made. His everlasting power and divinity are perceived through the things that are made. And so believe and have faith and trust that there is a person called God because of the powerful evidence for that. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, when Paul was in the area of Lystra and Iconium, and in that area he's preaching and teaching, and to these non-Jews he makes an argument, they're Gentiles, and he says that God has not left Himself without witness. God leaves a witness. He leaves tracks in the sand, if you will.
He leaves evidence of who he is and what he has done.
And so we're going to be surrounded by a lot of folks that
don't believe that there is a God. But have faith in God,
in the person of God, that he does exist because of the evidence. Every house is built by someone, Hebrews 3, verse 4.
Every house is built by someone. And he who built all things is God.
We trust that there is a person, a being, a deity, God, because of the powerful evidence in the world everywhere. Be it the human body, be it the universe as a whole, the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom. We could go on all morning.
There is design for a designer.
Believe in the person of God. Have faith in the person of God.
Let me encourage you this morning to have faith in the power of God.
When we feel powerless to change what needs to be changed, you're trying to work on something. Something needs to be changed morally or ethically, or someone or something needs to be bettered, and we seem like we have come up against a brick wall and we can't do anything about that. Let me encourage you to have faith in the power of God. You're trying to work with this person to convert them. Paul says that the gospel is the power of God into salvation. The gospel can change people. And we have to trust that. We're not going to try to go with some sort of social or recreational things, you know, fun and games. We trust that God's gospel has the power to change a person. And so we keep talking with them about that. We keep studying with them about that. We have the approach of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 32 and verse 17, who says to the Lord, "There is nothing you cannot do." Do we really trust that? Let me encourage you this morning just to have faith in the power of God. It does seem like sometimes when we go to work with a situation that nothing's changing, nothing's improving, nothing's growing, nothing's doing anything. But God can make that powerful change. We have faith in the power of God because of His might. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 6. I'm reminded of a statement that Jehoshaphat made when he was praying to God. They were about to go to war against Moab and Ammon, and Jehoshaphat had faith in God and he's praying to God for help. And notice what he says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 6. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and before the new court, he prays to God, "O Jehovah, the God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Art not thou ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in thy hand is power and might." Look at it. "So that none is able to withstand thee." None. It'd be nice to have some things changed in this nation, wouldn't it? Politically, legally, lawfully. Wouldn't it be nice to have some change? And do you get frustrated? I get frustrated. It's kind of like, well, what can a Christian do? You know, we don't have enough money to run for office. You have to have millions of dollars these days just to run for office. None of us could ever do anything like that. But Paul says to pray for kings and rulers and those in high place. God's power can make some changes. He rules in the kingdoms of men. Daniel chapter 4. The Proverbs tell us how that He puts kings on the throne and He takes them off. He guides their hand. He guides their decisions. Do we really trust that and believe that? We should. Sometimes I feel powerless when it comes to matters like government or American policy. It's frustrating. But I have faith in the power of God, that He'll make the necessary changes if He wants to make those changes. And I would encourage all of us to have that same disposition. Jesus' statement, which is simple, have faith in God. Let me encourage you to have faith in the providence of God when we feel like
no one cares. We're working with a particular individual or situation, and we feel like we're alone and that we don't have any help. God is not up in heaven asleep in a giant lazy boy recliner. God is not up in heaven asleep. God is not so far away that He's disconnected with us. The Scripture teaches that God is intimately acting every day to sustain His universe. And so as Peter says, we can cast all of our care on Him, for He careth for you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29 that there's not one sparrow that falls without God noticing that. He knows the number of the very hairs of your head. Jesus upholds all things by the word of His power, Hebrews 1:3. In Him all things consist or hold together, Colossians 1:15. God holds His universe together every second of every day. His providential rule is over all things. And I hope that that would remind us and encourage us just simply to trust in the providence of God. And as Paul says in Acts 17, in Him we live and move and have our very being. Well, no one cares. Well, God does. Man may not. We need to remember that God is always going to be there to providentially care for us and step in and help us. He's not uncaring. He's not aloof. He's not unconcerned. He's not asleep. And just trust that His providence will help us in this particular situation that we're dealing with throughout the day. Jesus said in John 5:17, My Father works until now, and I work. When the Scripture says that God rested on the seventh day, back in Genesis, end of Genesis chapter 1, beginning of Genesis chapter 2, that didn't mean that God went on vacation somewhere and just fell asleep and hasn't done anything. He rested from creating the universe. But at that point, when He finished creating the universe, He sustains it every day. Don't think that resting means He doesn't do anything. Jesus said, My Father works until now. And He works until today, May the 12th, 2019. He's still working. Have faith in the providence of God. And along those same lines, let me encourage you to have faith in the presence of God. I think sometimes maybe we've forgotten this because we don't literally or physically see Him. Maybe we've forgotten this point. And we're working with some issue. We're trying to make it throughout the day. And we feel like no one cares and we're all alone. And that is not true. Trust in the presence of God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Just because we can't see Him doesn't mean He's not there. God says, Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself hath said, I will in no wise fail thee, neither will I in any wise forsake thee. From the book of Deuteronomy. So that with good courage we say, The Lord is my helper. From the book of Psalms, I will not fear, what shall man do unto me? When we feel alone, we need to have faith in the presence of God because He said He would be with us and He doesn't lie. And we'll see, we'll talk about that in just a minute. Jesus said to the patriarchs, I am with you. Genesis 26, 24, Genesis 28, 15. The psalmist said in Psalm 145, verse 18, God says, I am with all of those who come to me in truth. I am with all of those who come to me in truth. He told Israel that He was with them, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Jesus said in Matthew 18, 20 to the apostles, Where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of you. I am there in the midst of you. Have we forgotten that?
And in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, in sending the apostles on the Great Commission, and lo, I will be with you even unto the end of the age. What does that mean? Well, we know what that means. And that should give us confidence and courage. You can look at Acts chapter 18 and verse 10. The Lord appeared to Paul in a vision there when he was at Corinth. Corinth was a very difficult work. He would say later that I was with you in fear and trembling. It's a very difficult work for him. But the Lord said, I am with you. Stay in this city. I have much people here. Stay here. And he stayed on and preached for some time. I'm going to be with you. Have faith in the providence and the presence of God. Sometimes I believe the solution is a lot easier than we make it. And we stress and we strain and we worry and we complain and we murmur and we're bothered and we're this and we're that, when we might just step back and take a breath and just say, I'm going to trust God. Have faith in God. We need to have faith in the punishments of God. You know, there are things out there in society and in life that frankly are disappointing when we see that others are getting away with evil and they're getting away with murder. It is very difficult to see people break the law with impunity, and people will murder and they might get a slap on the hand. You know, they might get the death penalty in the few states that still have that. But let's be honest. People get by with all kinds of illegality and wrong and evil. And you look at that and you just want to throw up your hands and say, well, why do we keep going? This is ridiculous. Well, we need to have faith in God that He's going to take care of that. We need to have faith in the punishments of God. We have faith in the punishments of God because we serve a holy and just God. He doesn't turn a blind eye to sin and evil and wrong. And we need to remember that even for our own lives. But He doesn't turn a blind eye to that. He is just and holy. And when someone breaks His law, they will be held accountable. And He's tried to put in place where that can be done in this life with civil judges and courts and law, Romans 13. But even when they don't hold up their end of what God wants, Paul describes them as a minister of God. But some governments are not serving God's purposes. And even when they don't, God is going to make sure that that's taken care of. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, God knows how to deliver the righteous. He knows how to do that. And then the rest of the verse says, He knows how to hold the ungodly under punishment until the day of judgment. He knows how to do that. You don't have to worry about that. He'll do that. And sometimes we just need to trust in the punishments of God. That when some injustice is done to us, or if it's not done to us, just in society in general, God will take care of that. He will right all wrongs. And so in the meantime, turn with me to Romans 12. It is not our place to engage in some kind of vengeance or take the law into our own hands. We feel from time to time, I'd like to just, I know how I can solve that, and we want to take the matter into our own hands. And so Paul says, render to no man evil for evil. He says, give place for the wrath of God, verse 19. The Lord says, vengeance belongs unto me. I will recompense, says the Lord. And sometimes we just need to have faith in that. At all times, we need to have faith in that. When we see that these types of things are going on in our society today, we see the abortion and we see the homosexuality and we see all kinds of corruption. We see political leaders that are corrupt and we see lying and thievery and waste, and the just list goes on and on and on. And sometimes it gets overwhelming. Have faith in the punishments of God. In fact, hell is described as eternal what?
Matthew 25:46, eternal punishment.
God will take care of that. Let me encourage you this morning to have faith in the precepts of God. His Word.
We get up each day and we have to make decisions. We talked about this last Sunday night.
Our young people make decisions. What direction do I go? What values do I hold? What do I believe? What do I do? What do I not do? How am I to be guided in life?
I just need to pick up my Bible and have faith in the precepts of God. All these voices, all kinds of people telling me what to do and how to live, and all kinds of value systems, and all kinds of voices telling me to go this direction. How do I know what to do? Just pick up your Bible and start reading it, particularly the New Testament. Because Psalm 19, verse 8, look at it. The precepts of the Lord, it's just simple. The precepts of the Lord are right. It's just right. It's just the right thing. He's always going to tell you what's right. So whatever you're reading, it's going to be the right thing.
And when we feel like we don't know where to go and how to answer those big questions of life, turn to God's Word. That's why our daily Bible reading is important. I was excited to hear that the high school class had 100%. That's awesome. That lets me know that our young people are looking to God for guidance. You can't ask for a better thing. Well, what should I do? Just read the verse and have faith. That's the right thing, whatever God's telling me. And there are some things where we might not know all of the whys and the wherefores, and we might not see the reasoning. We were going through some of the laws this morning in Exodus 21 and 22, and you can read some of those things, and you might say, well, you know, I don't know the reasoning of that particular matter, but at the end of the day, the precepts of the Lord are right. They're right. And if we'll just trust and obey, for there's no other way, we'll be doing what God wants. It really makes conversion a lot easier. Sometimes people struggle, well, should I be baptized or not? It's really simple. Yes. Because when God says I need to do that, I just trust that's the right thing to do. It's not that difficult. And the things that he tells me to be a Christian and what we call the five acts of worship and the three works of the church and different things that we read about the New Testament church, and I read those things, it's really pretty easy. I trust that God's telling me to do what is right. And I'm going to trust and obey. He will never, ever tell me what's wrong. He will never guide me in the wrong way. Ever. And so I trust the precepts of God. And when there's all these voices vying for my attention, I'm going to ignore all of that and just simply follow the guidance of God's Word. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God's going to guide me. Turn back with me to Jeremiah chapter 6 to remind ourselves some things about God's Word. Sometimes we have to go back to the old paths. Churches today want to be the church of the 21st century. And so we need to change and accommodate and modify and add this in and take that away. It's best for us just to simply go back and remind ourselves that the old paths are the way to go. And look at what Jeremiah says. He says, if you'll go back to the old paths. Now, some people are going to say, well, that's an old fogey. And, you know, I don't want to be in the church of my grandparents. And I don't want, you know, this old antiquated church. I want the new progressive church. You know, there may be some belittling like that. But look at what Jeremiah says. He says, stand in the way, the crossroad, when we're having to make a decision which way to go, stand in the crossroad and see, look at this, ask for the old paths. Now, underscore this in your Bible. Where is the good way? That's where it is. It's nowhere else.
That's where it is. That's where the good way is.
And so when I pick up my Bible, all the precepts of the Lord are right, and that's where the good way is. And I trust that. And I'm going to pick up my Bible each day and read God's Word and follow it, because He will never take me in any other way.
We need to have faith in the precepts of God. We need to have faith in the purposes of God when we don't understand it all. Sometimes you'll hear conversations like, well, I don't understand why such and such happened. And sometimes it's us doing it. I've done that before.
Well, I don't understand why someone has to get cancer. Why do we have to have tornadoes and hurricanes that kill people? Why do people have to get cancer? Why do people have to suffer? Why do people have to lose their children prematurely in life? And we wrestle with those kinds of things, don't we? I do. Do you?
Well, you know what that is, don't you? God has a purpose for things. And sometimes we need to have faith in the purposes of God. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And as you're turning over there, when we ask all the why questions, keep in mind that we serve a God that's all loving and good. All good things come down from Him. James chapter 1. He has a purpose for everything under heaven, including those negative things. And so we have faith in the purposes of God. And here's why. Because He's all wise and all knowing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, for everything, not just some things, not just the positive things, but for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. And when you read this well-known passage, you're going to find some negative things. War is mentioned in there, and weeping and mourning is mentioned in there. You're going to find some negative things. But God has a purpose for all things that are in life. Look at verse 11. He, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. Look at verse 17. God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Now, I'm not saying that God causes everything. I'm not saying that. Some bad things in life are caused by the sinful actions and the free will sinful actions of man. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that even in those things, God has a purpose that can be served in bringing about His plan for us. He's all wise and all knowing. Job said at the end of understanding all that suffering in Job 42 and verse 2, Job said, there is no purpose that cannot be thwarted. God will fulfill all of His purposes. Nothing will be restrained. Nothing will be held back. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. When we come to the New Testament, we read about the purposes of God. The next time you're sitting there, well, I don't understand. Well, just make it simple. Make it simple.
Whatever it is you're trying to comprehend, that works within the purposes of God for us to help us in some way. He's all wise and all knowing.
And it's going to be whatever that purpose is going to serve us in a good and well way. In Romans chapter 9, this is a chapter where Paul is talking about how that God is saving the Israelites, and He's doing that by purposely choosing certain things throughout history. And in this case, it has to do with Jacob over Esau. And the text says that neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. God, it comes from God. And when Paul closes this section, which runs from 9, 10, and 11, look at how he closes it in chapter 11 and verse 33.
Somebody says, well, I don't know if I can trust that. Turn to 11:33. I don't know if I can trust that cancer thing. I don't get that one. And the tornado and the hurricane thing. I don't know about all of that. Well, just keep in mind that all of those things are in God's purposes. And here he is. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. That's why I said that. He's all-knowing and all-wise. And these things fit within his purposes. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past tracing out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, God, of God, origin, through God, through him, and unto him are all things. To him be the glory forever. And that's why Paul says, amen. So be it. We serve an all-knowing and all-wise God. We may not understand all of those little things that happen from day to day, but it fits within the purpose of God, who has made everything beautiful in its time. He can even take bad things, suffering and trials. We read about that in the New Testament that makes us better. Even negative things can make us better. And so, have faith in the purposes of God. And then last of all, have faith in the promises of God. When we feel like others have let us down, when we feel like there are those who have broken their word and gone back on their word and they've not kept their word, God never lies, ever. In fact, He cannot lie. Titus 1:2. It's impossible for him to lie. Hebrews 6:10 and following. And so when he makes a promise, he will fulfill it. I like what is said about Abraham in Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, the text says, with regard to the promises that God had made to Abraham and Sarah, that he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God. Now look at this. And being fully assured that what he, God, had promised, he was able to perform. Have you ever been around somebody that promised something, but they couldn't deliver it? Yeah, that happens from time to time. But when God promises something, he's able to perform it also. And so you read in your Bible about the promise of forgiveness of sins and the promise of answered prayer and the promise of hope in heaven and those types of things. They will come. Because God never lies. And when we go through those difficult times in life, we can rely upon the promises of God. Hebrews 10:23, He is faithful who promised. He's trustworthy. Have faith in the promises of God. You know, there's some people who are fickle. They say yes and they mean no, and they say no and they mean yes. And Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, and he's answering that charge that he had been charged with being fickle and double-minded. You know, saying yes and then meaning no and so forth. He says, we don't operate like that. In fact, we operate just like God does in 2 Corinthians 1:20. When God makes a promise, in Him is the yes. And then he goes on to say, He is also the amen. When God makes a promise, in Him is the yes. It's not back and forth and all over the place. That's the God we serve. And so, read about those promises to you as a faithful Christian in the New Testament. Read about those things and gain comfort and encouragement and consolation from those as you go throughout your day. Well, that's the lesson. When Jesus addressed this perplexing issue with Peter, how could this be? How could this fig tree be cursed and withered so immediately? Have faith in God. You see, sometimes it's a lot easier than we might think. And trust. We do it all day long with men and women. Why not with God? Have faith in God. And maybe for you that means just simply in simple trusting faith, coming forward as we sing this song of invitation. It's not difficult. You don't have to You don't have to go through that in some sort of intricate, detailed, convoluted kind of way. Just think, no, it's just very simple. Just trust and obey. Very simple. If we need to come back as a Christian, it's really simple. If we need to make it through the difficult things of life, if we will have faith in these various aspects of God, it'll help us through. I think sometimes we have overlooked maybe the simple trusting faith. And I hope this morning's lesson has encouraged us to get back to that. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?